Our first scripture reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and ate of our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they are to bring in, it will be twice as much as they gathered on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard you complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you your meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture is also a scripture about God feeding hungry people, and it happens sort of fairly early in Jesus's ministry, and it comes from the Gospel of Mark in the sixth chapter. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them, and all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord. Of course, we know that 5,000 men means that there were women and children around too. Didn't count them. I'd like to share with you a story that is becoming distressingly familiar in our country. It's told by Whitney, a woman in her late 60s, and she lives in Shelby, Ohio. It's called Flyover Country, and it's located about halfway between Cleveland and Columbus, Ohio. Here is Whitney's story in her own words. I thought that after working hard all my life, I'd be living a good life now. So it doesn't make me feel good that at the age of 65, I have to start eating things that mess with my health. Because all of a sudden, I have no work. Just like that, funding was cut from my job as a special education aide, and I haven't been able to find work since. There just aren't enough jobs for seniors. I had planned to work until I wasn't able to anymore, so losing that job really did something to me. My blood pressure went way up, and I wasn't sleeping well at night. It's hard times now, living on only $1,268 a month in Social Security. I'm a breast cancer survivor, and I don't have money to go to the doctor or to have a mammogram like I should. I don't have money to get new glasses or anything that isn't a complete emergency. I can't give up my car because I have to drive 16 miles south to Cleveland to buy food because stores here don't have fresh vegetables worth eating. What they do have looks rotten, ready for composting. We used to have good grocery stores here in Shelby, but then the manufacturing left and people closed down their stores and moved out of town. I can't afford food or to cook healthy. And I'm not the only one having a hard time here. A group of us are talking about what we can do to eat healthy and have less hunger. We're trying to bring stores back to Shelby and get more people to grow their own vegetables. I only have a small piece of which to garden, so I can't grow all the vegetables I need to eat. I get a lot of my food from a food pantry, so I'm cooking what I get from there, not the foods I want to eat. But I don't know how I'd survive without the food pantry. It'd be hard. You know, I grew up in a time where times were hard. We ate what we could find, sometimes wild things like rabbits or pigeons and duck. I had more food as a poor child living on a hardscrabble farm than I do now. This is like the cry of God's people for something to eat. Whitney has exhausted her options, and yet she is still hungry. She's unable to do basic things for herself, like get herself new glasses or to get routine medical tests or anything that isn't an emergency. And this is the relentless poverty of rural areas in our country. But we see it in the city, but the rural areas have it just as bad. It's places where viable communities with their own schools and stores and neighborhoods have deteriorated. Whitney describes a food desert where there are few or no options for buying food and other necessities. She describes the practice of large food chains who sending the worst produce and food to areas with a high percentage of poor people, while the best produce is sent to wealthy areas in or near cities with statistically a high percentage of well-off people. Often the cost of the food is similar in both areas, despite the difference in the food quality. So poor people just pay just as much as you or I to get far inferior food quality and choice. This is the economic reality of many people in America, and they are hungry. They are hungry for food, for dignity, for anyone to listen to them and help. Some might say that, well, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Economics just doesn't work for rural areas. But that's not what God says. God is nurturing a green and growing world that is capable of sustaining life, our life, but also the lives of other people, plants, animals, and all manner of living things. This is God's intention for humanity and the world. God's intention for all is freedom rather than slavery, for peace and plenty rather than increasing wealth or efficiency or power or control. You will find that God is not against success. God is not against success or wealth, but God is against greed and mercilessness. God is for feeding the hungry in body, mind, and spirit. And so God sent to the Israelites a deliverer, Moses, who came in God's name and freed people from slavery. And when they were in the wilderness and cried out in hunger and in fear, God fed them, but in a rather peculiar way. God gave them enough for one day and thwarted the hoarders and the greedy. Manna cannot be hoarded because after one day it rots. So each day the people came to God and understood that it is God who provides and that everyone gets enough. And no more. And that is, well, enough. It's not a weird power thing on God's part, but a training of God's people to put God first. And when God is first, God directs us to love each other and then to continue living that way and teaching others God's way of living. Why? So that all may have enough and that the greedy and prideful might be thwarted. Here's another story of hunger and 21st century life that is quite common. Brenda says, I worked for the state for over 40 years. The last few years I spent as a caseworker approving food stamp applications for folks on the other side of the desk. And I always said to myself back then, you are only a few paychecks away from being on that other side of the desk. I never thought I'd end up on the other side and in need of help, but my world changed, and here I am. 4 years ago, out of the blue, I was given the guardianship of my two grandsons, Aaron and Carson. At the time, I had enough money to feed myself, but suddenly I had two growing boys to feed. Even though I was still working full-time and dipping into my retirement savings, I realized that my income was not going to be enough, and putting food on the table for the boys was going to be a problem. During the school year, I could make my dollar stretch because they got free breakfast and lunch at school, so I only had to worry about dinner. But as that first school year came to an end, I grew anxious knowing I'd have to provide each of them with two more meals. At first, I was embarrassed to ask for help. I'm 64 years old, and I have never asked for any type of assistance. I worked my whole life, full time. But this was about my grandchildren eating, and I knew I had to do whatever it took to keep them from going hungry. I sent my boys to a summer program sponsored in part by the Golden Harvest Food Bank. That provided them with free breakfast, lunch, and sometimes a little bag of food to take home on the weekends. That help made all the difference. I can say I'm no longer ashamed to be on the other side. I've been treated with dignity and respect, and my grandchildren have enough to eat. The summer feeding program gives them the fuel they need to do well in school, and I hope that doing well in school will help them get into college. And in that way, it's providing them with so much more than food. By nurturing their bodies and minds, it's providing my grandchildren with a future. When Jesus looked out on the crowd that had followed him into a desolate area to receive healing and teaching, he saw that they were hungry and that some were sick, and he had compassion on them. He did not judge if they made the right decision to come without provisions or to stay too long. He responded to the immediate need and fed them, all of them, Jew and Gentile, male and female, regardless of class or background, because Jesus wants the hungry to know that God intends for all to have enough. And because Jesus wanted to show his disciples that we are to feed the hungry just as he did. Now, people may tell you that the church is full of hypocrites that make mistakes. And guess what? You know, we do make mistakes from time to time, but I'd say a lot less than the general population. We disciples of Jesus Christ make mistakes at UPB, at other churches, all over the place. But we also do many wonderful things. We are people who invite others to share dinner on Thanksgiving or Christmas or another holiday when they have nowhere to go. We are the people who look out for those who are recently widowed or divorced and make sure that they are included. We are the ones who bring dinners to those who are sick or grieving. We are the ones who feed the hungry of body and the hungry of mind and spirit. It's what we do. And it's what God laid out as our path in Exodus, and Jesus demonstrated as our ministry to feed the hungry in mind, body, and spirit. You know, we collect food for the food pantry, and if you're not involved with bringing food, get involved. Because I think there's going to be a lot more people who will be using food banks to survive, some for the first time. Did you know that 1 in 5 children in the United States lives with food insecurity? That means that there's no guarantee for 1 in 5 children that the next meal is coming, or the meal after that. So I'd say let's look around for the new thing God is doing, because God always does a new thing, and find out how we can get involved as individuals, as members of UPB, or with other churches in our area. We have a fantastic ministerial association in our area. Because God's intention is for everyone to have enough, which is why Jesus decreed that we celebrate God's grace with, what else? A meal. Amen.